Welcome to the Christians on Campus Bible Study Podcast. I'm Daniel, and I'm joined by Kevin.
Hi, Daniel.
Our series is titled God's Full Salvation, and today's Bible study is titled, Yes, This Is Our Destiny. Ephesians 1:5 says, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, the title of this Bible study is, Yes, This Is Our Destiny. In this Bible study, we zoom in on the first steps of God's economy and see how they are all together for God's goal, which is to gain his many sons. Kevin, could you please review for us, where do we get this term, God's economy, and what does it mean?
Sure thing, Daniel. The first thing we want to see is that God's economy is for carrying out God's heart's desire and his eternal purpose. Let's read Ephesians 1:5 again. Predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we have God's good pleasure. Now let's read three more verses. Ephesians 1:9. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Ephesians 1:10, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. Ephesians 3:9, and to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things.
Amen.
Daniel, we've mentioned the three boxes before to describe God's heart, God's purpose, and God's economy. Imagine the first box containing the desire of God's heart or his good pleasure. This first box leads to God's eternal purpose. In the second box, God's eternal purpose is his will and his goal. It represents a finish line, so I might imagine the checkered flag or car race in this second box. In the third box is God's economy. God's economy is all the steps God takes to accomplish his will, which is his eternal purpose. Since today we are focusing on the first few steps of God's economy, Daniel, why don't you walk us through the first step?
Sure, Kevin. The first step is God's selection for his economy. We'll read Ephesians 1:4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Let us also read Romans chapter 9, verses 20 through 21. But rather, O man, who are you who answer back to God? Shall the thing molded say to him who molded it, why did you make me thus? Or does not the potter have authority over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Kevin, the first step of God's economy happened before creation. This step is God's selection.
Amen.
As the sovereign God, he is free to choose what he wants and do what he wants. He is like a potter, molding the clay in whatever way he chooses. As the clay, we cannot say to our Creator, why this or why that? Here are some helpful words from a book titled Life Study of Ephesians. His choosing is his selection. From among innumerable people, he selected us. This he did in Christ. Christ was the sphere in which we were selected by God. Outside of Christ, we are not God's choice. This took place in eternity past. God chose us according to his infinite foresight before he created us. Have you ever been impressed with the fact that God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world? Whenever I think of God choosing me in eternity past, I am filled with worship and praise to him. I do not need to be chosen by man, for I have been chosen by the triune God. Amen. Christians often say to the Lord, O Lord, we did not first love you. You were the one who first loved us. However, concerning God's selection, we need to say, Lord, we didn't choose you. You chose us. We all need to thank the Lord for his eternal selection. The selection made in eternity past for eternity future. We have been selected not to occupy a position of prominence in the world, but to be in the church. God's selection was for the church.
Amen, Daniel. I think this is very helpful. Thank you. Let me ask you, Daniel, and audience, please consider this as well. How might you compare God's selection with being selected for prominent positions in the world?
Well, Kevin, for one, prominent positions in the world are selected by ordinary people. God's selection of us is something God does. We can all be so thankful that God selected us.
Amen, Daniel. Can you now share with us something about God's predestination for his economy?
Definitely, Kevin. We have to read Ephesians 1:5 again. Predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Furthermore, Romans 8:29 says, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So the second step in God's economy is his predestination. God knows all things, the past, the present, and the future. He is the source and initiator. Therefore, before you and I were born, he knew us. Not only so, but he looked at all those whom he would create and marked them out for a certain destiny. This was his predestinating us, as is mentioned in Ephesians 1:5. In his translation of the Bible, John Nelson Darby used the words having marked out. In fact, God marked us out for something really special, to be his many sons, and to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At this point, Kevin, we'd like to ask our audience the following question. What have you previously heard about predestination? And what do you now see concerning God's predestination?
That's right, Daniel. I have to say, for me, through our getting into this together, I'm seeing at least a couple of things. One, God's predestination is for his economy. And two, I'm also seeing that we are not just talking in general how God knows our future, but we are seeing what that future is.
Amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, that brings us to the next portion of our Bible study, which is sonship, the goal of God's selection.
Amen.
Let me read a bunch of verses. Pay attention and see if you can tell where we are going with this. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John 14:9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How is it that you say, show us the Father? Colossians 1:15. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Matthew 5:48. You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Romans 8:23. And not only so, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan in ourselves eagerly awaiting sonship, the redemption of our body. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been manifested what we will be. We know that if he is manifested, we will be like him, because we will see him even as he is.
Wow, Daniel, what a collection of verses that is.
That's right, Kevin. Now, what we're getting at here is that God uses a human concept to represent the goal of his economy. That concept is sonship. Sons in the Bible show the reproduction of their father. That is, the impartation of the life of the father into his sons. In the Bible, there is also a strong tie between sons and expression. How does the father get expressed? It is through the son. We can also see the concept of inheritance. As they grow to maturity, it is the sons who receive the inheritance of their father. Therefore, sons show the matter of life, expression, and maturity.
Awesome, Daniel.
Yes, Kevin, I agree. Now, I just have to say that this concept of sonship in the Bible does not have to do with gender. All the dear sisters in the church are also the sons of God and the brothers of Christ. When the Lord Jesus refers to his brothers in the Bible, he is also including all the sisters.
For sure, Daniel.
Thanks for joining me for this Bible study, Kevin. And thank you, our audience. We leave you with something to consider. How can the many sons of God fulfill the desire of God's heart? Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.